Hey, I'm Jackson Bostwick. Played Captain Marvel on the old Shazam TV series, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Welcome, Comic Book Nation, to Comic Book Central. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Thanks for joining me in the lair today. Oh man, I feel like it's a Saturday morning in 1974, because that meant one thing when I was a kid. Shazam! The live-action series featuring the big red cheese Captain Marvel was on CBS, and I wasn't moving from in front of the television set. And I hope you're not planning on moving during this episode or next week's episode of Comic Book Central, because we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of the show with two of the stars. Today, it's Jackson Bostwick, who brought the Captain to life. And next week, Michael Gray, Billy Batson, will join me to celebrate the show. Now, before we get started, I want to say a word of thanks to all who have been joining me on Facebook and Twitter, who have been liking and sharing the show links and retweeting the tweets. Had a lot of them for the Jamie Alexander interview, including Jamie herself. How awesome is she? And if you like the show, and I hope you do if you're listening, please take a minute or two to rate the show and post a review in iTunes. It really helps the show to get recognized, and the more ears that are tuning in, the more of these fantastic guests I'll be able to get to come on the show and hang out in the lair with me and talk comics. Hey, a special thanks to my pal over at the IndieCast, Mitch Halleck. Mitch runs the Connecticut Comic Con. You can check that out at comiccon2ns.com. Hoping to get there this year, Mitch. And Mitch also hosts the Comic Conversations podcast. Check that out as well. He's been helping to get the word out about Comic Book Central, so thanks to Mitch. Also, Sam Rizzo over at the Schuster Herald podcast. That's a podcast dedicated to the Superboy TV series and the Superman mythology in general. Sam and his co-host, Adam Bassiano, will be firing up some new episodes soon. But until then, be sure to check out some of their past episodes.
The SuperboyHomepage.com and Simply Superman Batman presents the Schuster Herald podcast. I'm your host, Sam J. Rizzo.
I'm your co-host, Adam Bassiano.
So tell us, Adam, what's going to be on the Schuster Herald podcast?
Well, Sam, we have episode reviews, never-before-heard cast and crew interviews, and of course, we'll be taking a weekly look at what's happening in the Superman universe as a whole.
So take flight with us, Superboy fans, in 2013 as this new Superboy podcast gets off the ground.
And last but not least, the debonair Derek M. Cook from 1951 Down Place, and of course, Monster Kid Radio. If you're looking for classic horror film podcasts, Derek is the man with a plan. At 1951downplace.com, Derek and company revisit the Hammer horror films. And over at monsterkidradio.net, Derek chats up the monster movies and sci-fi classics of yesteryear with a variety of guests. Some of the past episodes, Manos, The Hands of Fate, Godzilla, War of the Worlds, and, yes, even the Abbott and Costello monster movies. A few months back, Derek and I riffed about Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, and we just recorded a show where we take a look at the next flick in that series, the murder mystery, Abbott and Costello Meet the Killer, Boris Karloff. Here's your first clue. The title is misleading. Go check out the episodes at monsterkidradio.net. And now, holy moly, it's time to talk about Shazam! In late 1939, that's right, almost 75 years ago, Fawcett Publications wanted to cash in on the popularity of National, now DC Comics, superhero smash duo Superman and Batman. Artist C.C. Beck and writer Bill Parker were given the Herculean task of matching the success of these tights-wearing titans, so they, of course, turned to Hercules and five other legends. Granted, the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury, young Billy Batson simply had to utter the acronym Shazam, and he was transformed into the world's mightiest mortal, Captain Marvel. The Captain first appeared in Wiz Comics number 2, cover dated February of 1940, and Beck and Parker really overachieved. Captain Marvel comics outsold the Man of Steel, and in 1941, the Captain hit the big screen in Republic Pictures' serial The Adventures of Captain Marvel. All this success didn't come without a price, however. Cap comics were over and done with at Fawcett by 1953, thanks to a copyright infringement suit by DC Comics, who, in turn, then licensed the character in 1972. Now, here's where things get a bit crazy. In between those two events, Marvel Comics trademarked Captain Marvel, which is why DC now has to use the title Shazam. Legalities aside, in the 70s, nothing could stop Shazam, especially on Saturday mornings, where the live-action CBS show ruled. Produced by Filmation, Shazam ran from 1974 to 1977, and it took a much more realistic approach than was seen in the comics. Teen idol Michael Gray as Billy Batson, veteran radio, film, and TV actor Les Tremaine as Billy's mentor, and Jackson Bostwick as Captain Marvel dispensed justice to the bad guys and moral lessons to the young audience of superfans. A controversial bit of recasting hit in the second season when Jackson was replaced by newcomer John Davey, but for 17 adventures of the series, one man filled the yellow boots when the magic word was spoken. The clap of thunder should tell you who our guest is today. That's right, in 1974, he became only the second actor to portray the world's mightiest mortal. That's right, it's Captain Marvel himself, Jackson Bostwick. Jackson, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Joe.
Oh, this is good. Wow, you still got the pipes. So when I hear that voice, I feel like I should have a moral or somebody telling me a lesson I should learn. From whatever you say, I'm just gonna do it.
Hi, today you saw why Johnny and Susie shouldn't play around in the poison ivy. I remember Clayton Moore used to call me all the time. You know, you say, hello, Chemo. How's it going? I say, great, Clay. How's it going, buddy?
That had to be unbelievable. Just the two of you going, it just had to be like one great lesson after another, just talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can tell. I mean, you can almost sense that. Did you base your portrayal of Captain Marvel at all on that? I mean, was Clayton Moore an influence on you growing up?
Well, sure. He was an influence. So it was, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. I had all of these characters back in the days when you listened to them on the radio. I used to have, I liked Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. Just stuff like that, it brings it out in you. Clay was a great role model that you could really, because the way he portrayed it, and especially with Jay Silverheels doing Tonto, I mean, it was a great play with both of them working off each other. I also enjoyed Cisco Kid with Leo Carrillo and the poncho. When you think about the Duncan Ronaldo and the way they portrayed him, now he didn't have the presence that Clay had with the Lone Ranger. Of course, he kind of being behind the mask sort of gives him that mystique. But Cisco was great. I mean, it was just wonderful to watch those guys do what they did as far as bringing a superhero to life. And even though they weren't considered like a superhero like Superman or Captain Marvel or somebody with superpowers, they were still above and beyond just a regular hero from the way they were evolved. The legend of them is always the legend of the Lone Ranger. By the way, don't go watch that movie. But oh my God!
Oh, are you kidding? I was a kid when that was.
Come on!
Aside from the fact they dubbed his voice, but
introducing Clinton Spielsberg. Goodbye, Clinton Spielsberg.
Poor Clinton.
They ask him, now you are going to lower your voice when you put on the mask. Oh, yeah, no problem.
Well, in all fairness, they did dub Andy McDowell's voice in Tarzan, too. So, and, you know, we know what a great actor she is. So,
I have.
Poor Clinton. Dissed by Captain Marvel already. Hey, but you know what? That when you think about it, though, the people that you're talking about, the actors you're talking about, that what you got from that, that really serves to play into the character of Captain Marvel, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, in a way, they always do. served the same purpose. And don't forget, the original Superman that came on television was Truth, Justice, and the American Way, which they cut out the American Way. All of that led to the heroic background, of what Black America was founded on. And that's what they're sort of losing out on today. They're missing that by not sinking back into that, and especially the mythological way of presenting these characters. That's what I liked about Donner. When he did the Superman, he really had the feel for it. And then, of course, they start going downhill after the original one with Chris Reeves. I enjoyed his portrayal of Superman. I didn't care for his Clark Kent too much. He was a little bit overboard on it, but I did like, he did have the look of the Superman.
I think he even said he was going for sort of a Cary Grant type of thing when he did that.
Why go for Cary Grant? Why not do something on your own without doing that? I mean, look at the old George Reeves. Now, what I loved about George, he always had his hands in his pockets. I mean, come on, George, you're standing around with your hands in your pocket.
He didn't care if people knew he was Superman or not. That was there was no distinction. It was just the hat and the glasses. He's like, whatever, it's the same guy.
Exactly. And always came up with those cute little things. Well, it seems like you're leading a dual life. Really?
Look at breaking the fourth wall. Look, right into the camera.
All of that stuff. Yeah,
crazy
anyway,
stuff.
I know, it's great stuff. But that's that's what made it fun. Now they're getting so darn dark, you know, that Captain Marvel is no longer Captain Marvel.
Well, I know. We'll get into that. Yeah, that's something
that's where we're...
It's a little different. Yeah, a little different.
A little? Give me a break.
Well,
we're talking about the alter ego of Jeffrey Dahmer. Pure of heart Billy Batson. This guy is demonic.
Well, speaking of the pure of heart version of Billy Batson, we think about when Captain Marvel was first introduced in the comics. We did get a very... sort of a squeaky clean, stripped down image of Captain Marvel. Were you a fan of the original comic books?
Oh, absolutely. My mother threw away my collection. I had a tremendous collection. I had Plastic Man, Captain Marvel, you know, all of the Wiz comics, a lot of the old Walt Disney, the Uncle Scrooge, and those. But I mean, I had all of those. She threw them away. So the only ones she saved, of course, because they had educational value, were my Classics Illustrated. But all the others, I mean, I had stacks of them. And I kept them just in perfect condition.
No educational value to holy moly?
Well, apparently not. And even I told other people when I first did the show, Bob Chenault, the original producer, came up to me and when we were getting ready to do our first episode after we'd already shot some pre-production flying and stuff like that, asked me, now, is there something, you know, clever that Captain Marvel can say, you know, when Great Caesar's Ghost or something like that? I said, what about holy moly? He said, holy moly. Oh, well, yeah, that's great.
How'd you come up with
Bob, that? Bob, that's what Captain Marvel says is holy moly. And you should have seen how it's spelled in the scripts when I first got me Holly Molly. I mean, they had it every way but right.
TV producers.
The guys just didn't do their homework. They didn't do their homework.
What about the original movie serial? It was a little bit before your time, but had you been able to catch any of those?
Oh, what do you mean? I'd love it. I watch it over and over. The no BS Tom Tyler, man, throwing the guys off the buildings. I mean, it's great stuff.
Are you talking about dark? I mean, I think that was a little dark, though.
Yeah, but no, it's not dark. Are you kidding? Look who he's up against, the Scorpion. But the thing is, it wasn't dark. Because Billy Batson was so goofy. I mean, he really was. He was a great portrayal, by the way. I really loved it. In fact, I remember seeing it back when I could get into the movie theater for 20 cents, and popcorn was a nickel. I saw this. I said, wow, what is this? And I think I remember it was in the serial format because it was the Clover Theater in Montgomery, Alabama, which was a little neighborhood theater. And every Saturday morning, we'd go down and I'd go across the street to the Five and Dime and Woolworths, Five and Dime, and get a liquor made. I don't know if you've ever heard of liquor made. You could tear them apart, and it's like those straws too that you could get the powder in it that you could, you know,
mix them up. You know,
the liquor made, you'd just tear the envelope, and you could sit there and stick your tongue in it and lick it. Right there is great. And but sit down and watch this. And I remember seeing that movies that stood out on me was War of the Worlds back then. And I said, well, this, I don't know if it's going to be very good. And all of a sudden, whoa, what's going on? When the first machines came out, it started really getting great. And same with this Captain Marvel thing. And I said, wow. Because it wasn't like the drawings that CC did. Because he had the old costume that looked like, you know, he ought to be parking cars at the Roxy. Had that, you know, the maitre d' look to him. But Tyler, you know, was quite a weightlifter. When he's lifting those guys up, he's lifting them up.
Yeah, he got a figure as Captain Marvel. He really did.
Oh, and he puts them over his head. Oh, he got a great look to him. And he had a great sound, too.
And the effects, too. I mean, really, when you think about it, way ahead of their time, because some of the flying scenes were just amazing, I thought.
Well, all of the reverse motors on that, making the, you know, when he was going up the building, it was all reverse. That was beautiful with those models, what they did, especially flying down the road after the cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, that stuff really sucks you in, because you say, wow, I mean, this guy's flying. And he was straight out, you know, had a nice straight look to him. Really a phenomenal venture into that. And I understand CC hated it, from what I understand.
Did he really?
Because Captain Marvel was so...
We're talking about CC Beck, the co-creator. Was the artist of Captain Marvel and Shazam.
CC was a good friend of mine. He really liked my portrayal. He said, you know, Jackson, that's exactly how I visioned that he would act, like you do. Of course, he said, I modeled it after
Fred McMurray.
Fred McMurray, because he was a big star at his time.
Right.
And this is why we modeled it after him. But he, if you notice that in the comics, you couldn't take it seriously because you got a tiger that talks. You got a little worm running around with a radio, you know, around his neck, that so you could hear him or whatever it is. I don't know what it was. But you got all this with Mr. Mime, and then you got Savannah, who was ugly and had a great-looking daughter, you know. Mm-hmm. All of this, he made it light, but they fought people like Captain Nazi and Cruel. He had a skull cap on, looked like a Viking. But these were the characters that were just so far out there. They were fantasy.
You hadn't really thought about acting, I don't think, originally, did you? Because your father was a physician. He was a neurosurgeon.
Neurosurgeon, right? Graduated number 3 in his class from Mayo Clinic.
So you weren't headed into acting right off the bat, were you?
I was pre-med.
Okay.
I majored in biology, minored in physics and chemistry. Could have triple minored in psychology. I took every course in biology that the University of Alabama offered. And, if you'd have told me I was going to be an actor while I was in college, I'd say, you're a damn fool. No way. I didn't even know who Laurence Olivier was when I got into it.
And somehow the dating game changed your fate?
That's what did it. I was in the Army. One of my second place sent my name in the dating game. I didn't know about it. I get this postcard in the mail. Yeah, we'd like to see. I said, good God, which one are you? Oh, Lieutenant, you got to go. You got, you know. So I went down. I didn't get the date. Of course, they say you don't win or lose. You're just not selected. Anyway, there was a talent scout. He met me backstage, and his name was Philip Benjamin. He was a scout at Universal Studios and asked me if I'd ever thought about acting. I said, you know, and I had one of them southern accents. I said, no, I ain't never done a thing in my life. Anyway, he said, why don't you see about getting some training and look me up? So I told my dad. He said, well, as long as you continue your schooling, give it a try, because I'd already passed my medical entrance, my law entrance, my GRE. In fact, Governor Wallace had signed a recommendation for law school for me. I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer. But anyway, I just took him because I didn't really have any idea what I wanted to be. So
was it just the excitement of it? Was it just the excitement of it that sort of appealed to you, as opposed to?
No, there was a school. There were two schools out there that I knew of, and one of them happened to be playing Alabama at the time at USC. And that's why I went in USC. Never done a thing in my life. It's a long story. I've got it in my book, if I can ever get it out. I was one of the 11 original members of the MFA Masters Company at USC. They were just forming the MFA, bringing it in that year. And I just walked in. It's the old thing. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans for the future. No way could I have known that. No way. And I just, Joseph Campbell says it good too. You just wander and bump into things. They said the worst thing you can do is be climbing up the ladder that you think you know that you're for success that you're going to get up to, and then you finally get up to the top of the wall and you realize you climbed up the wrong ladder.
So once you got a taste of some acting, you just, I mean, that was it.
Well, it's not a taste. I enjoy it because I love the movies. In fact, that was one of my lines. The guy asked me when I said, I sure like to see about getting y'all's acting class. And he's looking at me like, you know, give me that 1,000-yard stare. And he said, well, have you ever done anything? I said, no, sir, but I've been going to movies since I was 5 years old. That counts. He said, oh, sure does. I love movies. I love the comics. Acting, I didn't know anything about. So okay. I said, well, let me give it a try. And that's what I really put my mind into it.
Captain Marvel was one of your earliest roles. But if I recall right, you didn't even know you were going for it, correct?
No, I thought it was a Captain Marvel, Captain Crunch type serial because it was the.
That's great.
It was a commercial agent that sent me out. So I get out there, and I mean, there was nobody there.
What was your first? When did you first realize? Oh, this is for that guy I saw on screen. This is the comic book I've been reading. When did you first realize?
When I'm talking to the guy, you know, the producer, the Bob Chanel, and he starts filling me in, and he mentions about it, and I said, well, I know that. I mean, that was one of my heroes when I was growing up. And I told him that, and he looks at some of my flying shots and, flying sidekicks that I have in karate and stuff. And he said, oh, my God, you can fly without wires. And, of course, I weighed about 217, and I was competing in kickboxing and judo and doing some really heavy lifting. I was doing hack squats for 650 pounds and strong as a darn bull and about as half as smart as one. But, you know, all of this led to it. And he said, when I heard your voice and I saw your smile, he said, you know, and then, of course, all this other stuff, it just fell into it. And, I came in at the last minute. They've been looking for 4 months for a Captain Marvel.
Who else was up for the role?
Well, that was the guy that, you know, he said, did you, when you were walking out that day, do you happen to notice the guy in the Farmer John's? I said, well, not really. He said, well, as you went by, he came up to me and looked at me, and he said, wow, now there goes a Captain Marvel. Now, I was dressed in cowboy boots. This was my uniform that I normally wore to commercial interviews. Cowboy boots, jeans, and a white T-shirt. And as I said, of course, I was big. I was 217. And that's what he said, that wow, there was a Captain Marvel. And he said, you know who that was? And I said, no. And he said, that was Mark Harmon. He just had graduated from UCLA as their star quarterback. And he was one of the final four.
And you beat him out.
There it was. It was my turn.
I don't see Mark Harmon as Captain Marvel.
Apparently
the producers didn't either.
But look what he had, the prominence, if you will, coming from UCLA. His father's Tom Harmon, you know, all of that stuff played for it. But no, I couldn't. When I look back on it, no, I couldn't either. And the other three chaps, I don't remember who they were.
I remember growing up watching the show on Saturday morning, and to me, you were Captain Marvel. When you got the role, how did you approach the character? Because obviously you had a lot of the knowledge of the character coming into it, from the printed page, from the movie serial. How did you approach the character?
Well, I took a lot of what I see in all of them. I read up on it. I went back and read the comics that I could find and found out, you know, what he was always shy around girls. Captain Marvel was always blushing and shy around women. And I used that a couple of times in the series. You'll see when rescued that girl off of the horse which was, by the way, was one of my better stunts. When I pulled her off the horse at full gallop, she ran by me, and then we switched her over to the actress. I would always, you know, be sort of shy with the women. And when that's what Captain Marvel was. He was not a ladies' man.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because depending on which version you're reading, it, you know, Captain Marvel's taken on a lot of different aspects over the years. Some present him as Billy Batson, just a wiser version of Billy Batson. Some portray them in a recent comic book. It was two distinct personalities. So you were choosing to play him as just Billy Batson as an adult.
He was Billy Batson's alter ego.
Okay.
So how can he be two different people? He can't be. He is his alter ego.
And you approached it that way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Pure of heart. And why not? I mean, first of all, we were on a kid's show, and we couldn't even throw punches on the show. We couldn't put any kids in danger. I mean, this guy that was this PhD from UCLA that was supposed to look over the scripts, there are a couple of stories I don't need to go into right now that he would come up with. But I can remember when we first went into the interviews, when CBS was introducing the four live-action shows that they were presenting on Saturday mornings, and we did round-robin interviews with 100 newspaper editors from around the country at the Century Plaza Hotel. I can remember, we did it with the Hudson Brothers, Tony Orlando and Don, and the Harlem Globetrotters and their popcorn machine. That and Shazam were the four shows, and we did the round robins. I can remember
took me on a retro trip right there. There's a time machine just in that sentence. Wow.
Well, they would ask the question, and they would talk, and I could hear Shimer's was there, and Prescott didn't go, but Shimer's there. That's Michael and
this is Lou Shimer and Norm Prescott, the creators of the
right. Yeah, Lou was, and I can. They always argued about how many seconds of who's on top in that circle when it was going around. I mean, these guys were just, I don't know. Anyway,
the logo at the end of the show, yeah, the spinning logo.
And they'd argue who's on top for, you know, how many seconds they were up there. So this, they would talk. They would talk and do this. And finally, one of the guys said, "Well, let's hear from the big fella over here," and you know, because I was in costume when we were doing it. And
you're in full costume as this is going on.
Huh?
You're in full costume as this is going on.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And I had one of the editors come up to me and, well, you know, they used to pad George Reeves and everything. And he, you know, pokes me up there on the chest. He said, oh, well, you're not padded, that's for sure. So he, they asked, you know, me, and I started expounding all this stuff. They'd actually stuff like, well, aren't you afraid some kids are going to jump off the buildings? You know, and put it there. I said, look, you go over there to that mirror and say Shazam, and then look at the mirror. You didn't look any different. These kids will do the same thing. They'll put on the towels and they say Shazam, but they're going to look in the mirror and they're still, you know, they'll jump off a chair and it hurts. They're not going to jump off a roof or anything. Yeah, that's not.
Well, as one
picture.
Of the kids that watched the show, I didn't jump off the roof, so you're safe
no.
there.
No, but you enjoy. Every kid would love to be able to go behind the door, you know, with some bully and go behind the door and say some word and come back and just, you know, take care of the guy.
We did. We ran around and I yelled Shazam and that was it. And we pretended we were flying. Hey, you know, I also pretended I was Batman when I was a kid too. You weren't that far removed from the Batman TV show. Was there any thought when they were putting the Shazam TV show together? Because obviously you had the camp nature of the Batman TV show, but the Shazam show was played straight as an arrow. So was there ever a thought or was there any conversation you were privy to that said, hey, you know, they really struck gold with the camp aspect. Should we do it that way?
Never, never, never did it. Now, a couple of the outtakes, I don't see them, but I threw some non-primetime cuss words in there. They're very funny. But I would do that after, you know, making sure we already had the take and then just do something like that. I don't know who's got these outtakes, but I'm guaranteeing there's some good ones in there. But, no, I as I said, I wanted to give my generation or the generation that was under me the same thing that I had when Clay was playing the Lone Ranger when I was growing up. And I said, oh, I said, what I want to do. I mean, I made sure that I didn't put my hands on my hips and preach to the kid. I didn't do, I was very conscious about the costume that I, you know, because kids are very critical watching. And
great costume, by the way. Great costume.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Where, do you have it?
Yeah, I have one.
You have one?
Yeah.
You have it there?
I've got it somewhere. But
when was the last time you were in it?
I can't remember. When I was out in California. No, actually, I wear it around the house. The dogs like it. And when I barbecue outside, the neighbors in the garden sort of like to watch me barbecue it. No, I don't wear
put
that
a couple yellow flip-flops on.
With yeah, come on. Here, you want a hamburger? Come on over.
Hey, Captain Marvel, flip me a burger. Yeah.
Grab me a beer. Okay.
That's good. But you do have one. That's great.
Yeah.
That is one of the best costumes ever.
I got the best one. And Bob Chanel gave it to me. And I picked out the boots. I knew the best boots. Mm. We had three pair of boots, different cleats on the bottom. And I knew the pair that I wore all the time. And I knew the upper body part. I understand that they had some work in my, but that didn't have the silk glisten that the original we had. I think John Davies got one too, but I don't think he has a complete costume. I think he's missing the gauntlets or something. But anyway, I knew the best cape. I got the best hand, the one that I wore all the time. Because
that's
I know,
great.
You know, it's a good one.
Yeah, it holds up. I mean, you watch the episodes today. It's out on DVD now. You watch those episodes today. It holds up. I mean, it looks,
yeah.
And you cut an impressive figure. You talk about Tom Tyler. I mean, you cut an impressive figure. That's, I would imagine, you mentioned that C.C. Beck said that you were what he envisioned. I have to agree with him on that. You talked about stunts earlier, too. What percentage would you say, because this is, you did some of your own stunts, didn't you? What percentage
All
would you
them.
Say?
All of them.
Wow.
I did the only stunt that I didn't do, and it really wasn't a stunt, was wrestle with the lion. Because I'm not stupid. I know
there's a guy
not,
being paid for that, right?
Well, especially the carnivores. I did the big carnivores. You don't play around with those guys. Well, ask Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
You don't. And those are their bosom buddies. Those guys are built to kill. And I had what really cinched it for me was we were supposed to as kid. Can't remember. I think it was called the Bragger. I can't remember the episode. But he's out at the zoo, and he gets in the cage, and he doesn't realize he's in there with a lion. And now this was one of Elsie's from Born Free, one of her offspring. It was, I think, weighed about 250, 300-pound young lion. And the gag was I was supposed to fly in between him and the lion. Okay, so I'm up on a 14-foot ladder because that's how I make my landings. I would come off that over the top of the limbs. Now, George Reeves, I've watched lately, you know, how he would come in. His was a little more of less of a jump in, but this was off of 14 feet. I mean, you try that and landing like a hero, it's pretty hard to do. It's no, you can't do a PLF, you know, you just got to suck it up. But I had to come in. Here I am in this bright red costume with a flowing cape, you know, like tantalizing the bull with a red cape. And I have to fly in between this lion and the kid. Now, how did they get the lion to approach the camera? They take a live chicken and hold him upside down by his legs and shake him. So you got this chicken, he's like this. And this lion is, oh, dinner time. And he's coming across. And here I have to come in between him and that chicken. And when I did, he went, he let out this roar, huge roar. And he missed my thigh by about 2 inches and cut through that cape like it was butter. Mm. I mean, just like soft butter. And I said, whoa, that's it. You know, I was going to wrestle with him. I said, no. So if you look at the guy wrestling, And I even had him, I don't know why they cut it out, but he bit my gauntlet. I didn't even let stuck my arm in his mouth and let him chomp me, with, you know, a little bit. If you look closely, the guy looks like a California prune, or, you know, a raisin, one of California raisins, because he's a little short guy. I think he was about 5'6", about the size of Tom Cruise. Short guy. And so it looks like to call it, it's all shriveled on him. But he did a good job in there about with the wrestling. So it looked good. That's the only stunt that I didn't do.
I saw some of the takeoffs. I'm watching, you know, some of the episodes, and even some of the takeoffs that you have. You got some height on some of these.
Yeah. Well, I had to clear the cameraman. I understand, poor John Davies. And by the way, John, I like him. He's a great guy, but he's no more Captain Marvel than I am Wonder Woman. I mean, he was not a Captain Marvel.
John Davies was the actor that came in season two.
That's right. He replaced me after they fired me. 2 hours after I was fired, they had him on the set.
Yeah, give our listeners some of the backstory on that, because that was, even as a kid, I remember watching the show, and it's like, I think even in the season two, they aired the first, because it was after the first couple of episodes, but they were aired out of order, so there's like John Davey, and then Jackson Bostwick comes in, and it's back to John Davey. So it's like, whoa, there's a different Captain Marvel. What happened with that?
Well, I was doing a stunt. It was falling apart the second year. Bob Chanel had already quit. I didn't have any idea why he quit. He was the guy that really kept, and God love him, Bob.
Was the show's producer?
Oh, yeah. He was the original producer on the show. And he's the one that made it work. I mean, he really, he was great. He's the one that cast me, too. You know, that brought me in. The deal is, I don't know what's going on. The guys come over to me. First of all, I read the scripts, and they were all the darn, you know, say, what it is. It's the same darn thing. They only have an imagination. And the crew comes over to me and said, this is during the first couple of, you know, on the first episode, Holly Morris was directing. We had a little talking for her. And I said, Holly, these are the same. He said, well, Jackson, just don't make any waves. Just do your job. See, and Holly had been around. He directed some of the Lone Ranger series and stuff. Great guy. But he understood the business. Well, I'm a young guy, and I want to make the show the best you can do. And I say, look at this. It's terrible. The script is no good. They could have Captain Marvel come in the first part of the show. They don't have to have him always time coming in the back part of the show. So anyway, the crew comes to me. Jackson, you realize that they're over there serving, and this is when they brought ISIS in too. They're over there serving steaks and stuff to the to their crew, and we're over here eating stuffed peppers. And we're the ones that put, you know, them on the map with this live-action stuff, which is Sam in the first year. And now, because of Ghostbusters with Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker, they're getting steaks and stuff. And, of course, they're doing the same with ISIS, because ISIS is their little baby. That they it was a rip-off of Captain Marvel type of thing, you know, where she turns into a character.
But Filmation, it was a Filmation creation. It was their own character, right? It wasn't a DC character at the time.
No, and so as a result, they owned that.
Right.
So that meant more money for them. So anyway, Jackson, you need to go talk with the guys, you know, the executive producer, that's Prescott and Schreiber. And I said, well, I don't know. No, you're the only one that can do it. We can't say anything. I mean, we can't get the ropes we need. We can't get the materials we need, and blah, 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 blah. So I had asked if I could meet with the, you know, you guys, can I meet with the in the ring? I don't know how I set it up. So anyway, I went in there and I was talking with them. And I have a lot of that in the book, too. And I'm talking with them. And I'm just saying, you guys, how come you can't have Captain Marvel, somebody, pretend like they're Captain Marvel and rob a bank or something, and they blame it on Captain Marvel? Or how come you can't have it like electricity? And see, I'm going back to the old Tom Tyler series. I'm going back to the Superman stuff, all of the stuff you can do with a superhero character. I tell them this, all this stuff. So everything starts falling apart. And I noticed, you know, things weren't going as smoothly. The crew kept coming to me and you know, telling me these different things. So all of a sudden, I'm in the second show because we shot. This is the first week, by the way, of the first year, a second year, because we shot two shows a week. Our show every 2.5 days. So I get a call. My call for the next day was at 7:30 in the morning, and that's the only shot that I was had, and it was a takeoff. Now, Chenault would have never done that. If I had that to do that day, he could have had me out, around lunchtime. But not at a first thing, 7:30 in the morning, just to do a takeoff that I could phone that thing in. I could do them so, it was down to where I could just...
Well, they probably could have used some stock footage, too, at that point.
Or stock footage, exactly. Yeah. But and like he did in Superman, so funny to see him running in the same alley. He's over in Shanghai.
Don't give it away.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, spoiler. So what? So I'm out there at 7:30 in the morning to do it, and I do the first takeoff, perfect cut. All right, great. And this is a new director. Never heard of the guy. Don't know who he was. And he like Clint Spillsbury disappeared. So anyway, I'm back in the trailer getting undressed because we use the motor home as our, the three of us, as our dressing room. And I'm knocking on the door, Jackson, they want to see you do it again, director. I said, are you kidding? It was perfect. And even Bob Sparks said, it's fine, time for camera, fine for everybody. Well, he wants one for safety. I said, safety? Good God. Well, I said, okay, I'll be out. So I did. Put it on to see again.
This is you, and for the listeners, when you're saying a takeoff, you're hitting something and launching. So this is a stunt of sorts.
Yeah. Okay, it's a gag. Yeah, it's a stunt.
Okay,
I'm having to hit a mini.
This isn't just you like running down a thing just to get a quick cutaway.
No, I had to hit a mini cam and fly over the top of the camera.
Right, and when you watch the show, I mean, you do get air on these things.
Oh, I'm clearing. I'm way up there.
Okay.
So anyway, I did the gag the first time, and so I get ready to go out there. Now the mistake all of us did, me and my safety people, didn't check the boxes. And after the first takeoff, the boxes, the stunt boxes that I land in, had lost their integrity. So this second thing cleared the perfect takeoff, clearing, except when I come down, I go crashing through the boxes. And the corner of one of those cardboard boxes hits me right underneath the eye, damn near ripped my eye out. Busted a blood vessel into there. And I went straight into the asphalt. I was in the back of a Taco Bell in their parking lot. And I was dazed. I didn't know what was up. I stood up and they rushed over to me. The guys did. I never saw the director. He didn't come over and see how I was or anything. And you didn't even see that. And I've got it all on film. Just days.
Is this Hollingsworth Morse or Arnold Lavin?
No. Polly was the first show. This was the second show. I don't know who this guy was. I have no idea. I can't even remember the episode because I didn't shoot the tag at the end this time. Michael Gray got it, not me.
Oh, okay.
So because I got in the first 15 episodes, I was the one that did the tags.
Right. All shot in one day, right?
All in one day.
Right.
And that was my idea. They had no idea, and I said, "Man, you got to have this. All the superheroes do this." Colleen Moore, Lone Ranger, come back. Who was that masked man? Sisko and Poncho. Oh, Sisko and Poncho. All of them. Sergeant Preston, Yukon. Well, King, this case is closed. All of them come back and talk to the kids. All of them. I didn't want to give up the 60 seconds of commercials. I said, well, all right. Well, sure enough, after the bout, because it aired. When it first aired, they didn't have them in 74. So about a month later, he came to me. He said, they want to do it. They decided to go ahead and do it, and we're going to do it on this day. And I said, okay. And we shot him. And as far as I'm concerned, it made the show.
And so it was your idea, and it was your idea to have the little morals at the end of the show.
Absolutely. And as I say, as far as I'm concerned, it made the show, just like Waiting for the Lone Ranger.
Yes, it did.
I have to say, High Old Silver.
Yes,
it made the show.
So you're sitting there behind a Taco Bell.
No, I'm not sitting. I'm down.
You're
down.
You're on the
so I'm up.
Face
so I'm
down.
Up.
Captain Marvel splayed out.
So the head, no, I wasn't splayed out. I did a header right into the damn, you know, asphalt. So the guy, Bob Chanel, gives me my camera back because I was filming at Super 8. Because, you know, just for my own personal use, in case I ever wanted to do a lecture in a college later or anything. Because I did have an MFA and I can teach at college level, which I have done. So anyway.
Or go to court or something like that.
No, I had no plans on that. But he handed it to me, and that's what he says.
Yeah.
He said, well, Jackson, do you ever want to sue him? I got it all on film. Now, I didn't realize. Well, anyway, I did. In fact, that's what.
What did those words come into play, huh?
Well, that's, yeah, a little dramatic irony. But this, poetic justice, this was one of the things that they did. This was before discovery when we were doing the arbitration on the lawsuit. And they didn't have any idea that I had that. And as soon as they saw it, bingo.
Well, you this was you, the next day you show up. Do you show up for work?
No, I was at the doctor's office.
Okay, so
there's no way that I could have filmed anyway because I had busted the blood vessel. I even had that on film with an ice pack because one of the safety men said, "Oh, Jackson, let us take a picture of Captain Marvel with a mouse." And so I took the ice pack off, pointed to it, smiled, you know, and put it back on. I had that all on film at that same day, right after Michael had shot a scene.
Did you have a call time? Did you have a call time the next day?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I
but you didn't call.
Yes, I called it.
Okay.
I had the nurse. I had the nurse at the doctor's office call the studio. She had a sworn affidavit. She called him. And the girl.
So you've got a call time. You call in, say, I got a doctor's appointment. I got to get this thing fixed.
No, I called at the doctor's office. I woke up and looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, holy cow.
Holy moly.
Yeah, holy moly. So I great Caesar's ghost. So I took the, I gave an eye doctor a call. I just picked one out and told him. And I went in and I said, ma'am, could you call our Filmation Studios? Here's the number and let them know where I am, that I'm, you know, here getting ready. And she said, oh, sure. So,
did she call?
She came back and said, okay, I got in touch with him. And the girl at the front desk took the thing. They swore they never got it.
But they did get something.
They were setting up to fire me anyway because they wanted to send me out for personal appearances, $400-some a day and a percentage of the net. Well, my agent, I was with ICM, who represent the Eagles and other stuff, could send me out on a weekend for $10,000 and a percentage of the gross. Well, I can still remember Paul Prescott. Well, if we can't send you out, nobody can. Well,
wasn't in your contract, though, was it?
What?
That they had the exclusive rights to send you
no.
out.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
How long was it when, by the time you don't show up for work because you're at the doctor's office getting fixed up from a stunt?
I got in from the
to when
office.
Captain Marvel 12, looks 12 very, o'clock. Very different.
No, I got in 12 o'clock. I got a message on there for my, this poor cell phone. I got a message on my machine from my lawyer. Jackson, you just got a telegram from him saying, if you're not on the set by 1 o'clock, you're fired. I said, what? I said, it's a remote location. It's up somewhere up in the Malibu, you know, Santa Monica Mountains above Malibu.
Yeah, everything's out in the woods. Every episode's out in the woods. These are all in the middle of nowhere.
That was all live action. Yeah. A location.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't know. I'd never been on this particular location. All the others, you know, most of them I knew where they were. This one, I'd never been there. They have some elaborate treasure map to find. You go point X, take a left at the old stuff. And I mean, it was really elaborate. And I'd have taken time to find it anyway.
Well, you could have just flown there, right?
Well, I couldn't because I couldn't be Captain Marvel with
you
a mouse.
You couldn't see out of your right eye.
Well, no, Billy Batson went around the station.
You would have been pulling to the left.
Yeah, exactly. So I called CBS, and the only guy I knew back there was Duke Duchovny. And I said, well, the S has hit the fan back here. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, it's hit it back here, too. I said, well, man, I just got out from the doctor's office, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, there's no way I can. Well, you better make it out there. You'll be fired. I said, what? I said, are you kidding? No, that's serious, buddy. I hung up. I said, you sorry rascals. Sure enough, 1 o'clock, I'm fired. 2 hours later, John Davies on the set.
How is that even possible?
Trying to put on the Captain Marvel costume. God love him. He couldn't fit in the belt because I had a 30-inch waist, and I don't know what his is, but they had to put rubber bands.
Oh, it was your costume.
Okay. And I think that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I like John Davies, but he's a little bigger.
Yeah, he was a little. They used to make jokes about the donuts and stuff. He couldn't have any more donuts or something. But nice guy, good guy. But he told me about all this stuff. About being
How was he right there at the ready?
He wasn't.
I mean,
he was painting houses. He had a mustache.
That day?
They picked him. They picked him out of a player's director or some quality agent. The whole thing. Yeah, apparently a friend of Schreimer's. Do you have somebody we can put in? Just anybody.
Had him in their back pocket? Kind of like, hey, if we have to get rid of Jackson, we'll...
No.
He's painting houses with a mustache.
Yeah, he had a mustache.
And next thing you know, he's the big red cheese?
Yeah, and he told his son, you know, they want me to play Captain Marvel. And he said, I don't know, because he said my son was a huge fan. And he said, he remembers, and he said his exact words. His son told him, he said, oh, that's all right, Daddy. You're just playing until the real Captain Marvel comes back. So anyway, that's what happened.
Well, that doesn't break your heart right there.
Yeah, I know.
My goodness. Well, you know what? He did play a very good Captain Marvel. He's not the Captain Marvel in my book, but he does play a very good Captain Marvel. Do you know, John?
Well, I beg to differ. I don't think he played a good one. I think he played at it, and he's affable. He's an affable guy.
Yeah.
But he's not Captain Marvel, and that's what I'm talking about. Or he's not a superhero. He stopped me
Do you guys see each other now? Is he?
No. That was the only meeting I ever met him.
Okay.
It was outside of Screen Actors Guild Film Society. We were going to see, I think it was Star Wars.
Okay. God, and, you don't really hear much from him anymore.
No, I don't know where John is.
Okay.
Some say he was in Sacramento. Some say he was Palm Springs. I don't know. But he's really a nice guy.
But to put a bow on the story, you basically at this point, because you were able to have the film of the accident, you were able to arbitrate, and it sort of worked out for you, didn't it?
Well, they had to pay me for all the shows they didn't use me on, plus residuals.
You got paid for every episode
that they didn't use me on, plus residuals.
Nice.
No, they were paying. Are you kidding? They were paying with chicken feed.
Yeah, but you still got paid, and you didn't have to do the work.
Well, I would have much rather played the part.
they could have used a lesson from Captain Marvel. You know, honesty. You know, it always pays.
Well, they could have.
Wasn't it the end of the braggart?
No, they could have consulted the elders. I think they could have probably gotten it from those stick figures that they made. Here they are, an animation studio, and all you got is a psychedelic picture up there.
You get the crystal ball thing going, and they could have consulted them and found out. Let's not do this
machine.
Thing. The bubble.
Oh, Elders, Fleet and Strong, right? Where the hell are you guys?
They weren't in court that day. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, your co-stars. I mean, you don't. Because you're Captain Marvel and you don't really get to share screen time with Billy, obviously you did some promo shots and things with him, but your co-stars, Michael Gray and Les Tremaine, what was it like to work with those guys?
Fine. I mean, working with them was fine.
You got to do some scenes with Mentor. I mean, you got to interact with Les Tremaine a little bit.
We both, you know, worked very professionally. But off camera, apparently, Les hated my guts.
Les did?
Well, that's what I was told.
Oh. Well, we got a little interesting. Is he playing Dr. Savannah behind the scenes here?
I think it was deeper than that.
What was the deal there?
I have no idea.
Never asked him about it?
No. I didn't know about it.
When did you find out?
About 10 years ago.
Was he, I'm trying to remember when he passed. Was he still around?
I think he was, yeah.
Okay. But you never got resolution or never figured out why?
I didn't know. I never kept up with him after things happened to the show. Never talked with him. Hmm. Same with Michael. Well, Michael's the one that told me.
What did he say?
That's just what I just told you.
Just that he didn't like you?
No, hated me. Not like, hated.
Really?
Yeah.
How could you hate Captain Marvel?
I'm sure it had to do with... Bob Chanel told me, Jackson, you know, if it gets it for you, got out on the show, shooting, this is pre-production, or when we were making the costume, the Western costume. He told me, he said, projecting on you, you're going to have some problems. When you're, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're going to have some problems with your co-stars. I said, why? He said, well, you're going to be the neat new guy in town, and you're wearing the clown outfit, and you're going to be the one that's getting all the attention. I said, well, no. He said, trust what I'm telling you. I know the business. And sure enough, now, I thank so much with Michael. He had his own little gig going, but obviously it was with Les.
Okay. Well, yeah, Michael was on the cover of, like, every teen magazine, so there wasn't really a chance that he wasn't going to get exposure. I mean, he was pretty much the David Cassidy at the time.
Les definitely did. And there were a few episodes that incidents that I can remember. When CBS would come out and interview me, and I could see Les over there just steaming. Mm. And Bob told me, he said, yeah, but and then the next day, CBS was forced to come out and interview them. But he told me, he said, oh, no, Les nearly, you know, broken blood vessel.
Wow. Well, I tell you, to his credit, you can't tell on screen.
I thought he did a great job.
Yeah,
I never slighted him on that. He and I worked great together.
The dynamic between the three of you.
He had that personality conflict.
Yeah, the dynamic between the three of you, I mean, it just really comes across on screen. Even when you look back, I mean, I know it was a Saturday morning TV show, but the level with which you guys were able to perform and what you were able to do, it just, like I said, you played it straight. And there was humor injected, which I love. There's always that humor injected into the show. Obviously, it's going to be more between Mentor and Billy, because they're the ones that are on screen most of the time. But even between you and Mentor, you would have that sort of like, you know, yeah, you're Captain Marvel, but, you know, I'm Mentor. So you could kind of give you a little dig every now and then. I tell you what, when you're going through these things, was there ever any consideration that can we try to make this more like the comic books, or did you come up with any plots, or was there anything that you wanted to do personally on the show to keep it more in line with the comics?
They were all done by John Davey.
They worked into his.
By the time, those were all the suggestions that I made, he got to do them. The guy robbing the bank, the guy, electricity time, a couple of, I mean, every one of the ones, those were my suggestions. And also to have him come in at the front of the show. And I also mentioned to him, I said, I think you need the one where Captain Marvel says Shazam and goes back into Billy Batson.
I was going to ask you about that. You got to do, was it three of the four? I think you got to do three of the four that was, and one, you just belted it out. There's one where you get to say you get to utter the word.
Oh, yeah.
And it just rocks the screen. It's amazing. Do you recall that one?
I think so. I don't know.
How many takes? Did you just go nuts with it? Were you just like, Shazam?
Huh?
Were you just giving them like 50 takes, or were you just like one and done?
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I just, you know, I just said it.
Can you give us one? Because it shakes the walls.
No, no, not really. Because it's you know, it never works like it's the same. You know, it's just if you try one, like, Shazam! Like that, it's loud. But it doesn't carry like
that. You just gave me chills. That's great. What would you do with the character today? If you were producing or directing, whether it's the movie or if they did a TV show or something, or even if you could contribute to a comic script, a comic plot, what would you want to do with the character? How would you like to see Captain Marvel handled today?
Well, first thing I'd do is go back to Golden Age comics. And I said, you start looking right. There's your embryo right there. Just start right there and build up. And yes, you want to bring him to date. That's fine. I like it. If you used him back in the old days, I think it would be fun too. you know, to have back when the character was created.
To set it in that time period.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what would really make it fun. Of course, that's a lot more expensive to be able to do that.
Well, I mean, you've got the Captain America movie. I mean, they're period pieces.
Now, see, he's, again, he is not the fantasy that Captain Marvel was. I mean, you don't have talking tigers.
Would you bring that into it? Would you bring
that
those?
That would be hard. That would be great to do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at A Life of Pi.
Yeah.
See, and that's what's so great about
just make a talkie-talkie
and all of these animes. These guys and over there, they Japan and China, they know how. Look at the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or whatever it is. Look at how they bring back myth. That's what and how those things sell. That's what's missing today in the characters that Marvel and all them do. They're missing that fun, that myth.
Hey, would you, if they had they've been trying forever to get a Captain Marvel movie, a Shazam movie, would you do a cameo?
Oh, yeah. No question.
What would you want to be? How about Mentor?
Well, I don't know. If they keep playing around, I could probably reap for the part of Shazam. I mean, the old wizard. My God, they keep doing it. I read the first script.
James Garner just did it.
Huh?
James Garner did it in the animated feature. He did the voice of the wizard.
Yeah,
so maybe you could join the pantheon of actors such as James Garner.
That would be sort of interesting to have me play the wizard.
Real quick, I just want to find out what you've been up to. And you mentioned your book. Give me the title.
Myth, Magic, and Immortal.
When can we expect to see this? I know this has been long time in the making here.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I've got it. The text is finished. I've got, so many pictures that nobody's ever seen, some behind the scenes, some, great flying shots and stuff. But see, every time I put out one, next thing I know it's on eBay and stuff, and it just goes everywhere. So I'm saving a lot of them until I can get that done.
Well, when are we going to see this? The fans are clamoring for this. So
it would be, and it's, listen, it would be fun to watch, trust me.
We want to see it.
The book is a great read, by the way.
We want to read it.
Oh, God, it's good. But I'm glad because there's a lot of things I go back on now and I read and I say, oh, God, I can add this. And I laugh at some of them. I said, did I write that? That was good.
Well, so you're impressing yourself that I forgot I wrote that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's get this bad boy out there. That's, we've got, the fans are wanting to read some of these things to find out the inside scoop on Shazam.
Well, it's fun. It really is.
Where can we find out more information on it? You got a website, you got a Facebook page. What are we looking at?
Yeah, go to jacksonbostwick.com.
Okay.
Just myname.com. If you can't remember it, just go Google Shazam or Google Jackson Bostwick. You'll find it. And you can check out what I've done on IMDb, of course, and different stuff. I've done horror movies. I've done all kinds of stuff.
You got a Facebook page?
I got a Facebook page. Just go to Jackson Bostwick.
Well, that's great. The DVDs are out there. The book is coming out. We're looking forward to that. We got the website. We got the friend him on Facebook. You can friend Captain Marvel on Facebook. How awesome is that? This is great. I tell you what, Jackson, this has been a thrill for me. I've really enjoyed this. I tell you, Saturday mornings in the early 70s, it meant Shazam. And that's exactly what we wanted. Do you have a moral? Do you have anything that you can leave our listeners with? You ended every show with a moral. You taught us a little something-something, so...
Well, of course, a lot of them really come to it. It's just like I told you at the beginning. And it's like Churchill said, never, ever, ever give up. Don't do that. Don't listen to what other people think. I would, as I said, I would have never thought that I would be an actor. And I'm telling you, one little part that I had, I didn't win any Academy Awards or anything like that, but you go out there and you bust your butt doing the best you can and do something like that, I feel like I helped, with people playing a part that I did.
Jackson Bostwick, I can't think of a better way to end this interview. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for giving us a representation of one of the greatest characters ever to hit the screen. Thank you so much.
Joe, thank you, buddy. It was my pleasure.
Now, 40 years ago. I'm sitting in my living room in my jammies, eating a big bowl of Cap'n Crunch and learning life lessons from Captain Marvel. And he's still teaching me today. That was sweet. Hope you all enjoyed that interview. I know I did. And how about the way he took me to school and dropped some comic book knowledge on me? King Kull, are you kidding me? Oh man, I had to Google that villain. Nice reference. And Jackson, don't tell me you can't say the word the same way you did on the show. You rocked the podcast with your Shazam. Thanks again for celebrating the 40th anniversary of the show with us. You can catch up with Jackson on Facebook or on his website at jacksonbostwick.com. And can't wait for that book. Don't forget you can order the entire series of Shazam on DVD at the Warner Archive Collection at shop.warnerarchive.com. There's a bunch of stuff over there. They've got the Superboy series on DVD, the original Wonder Woman with Kathy Lee Crosby. And for Shazam, they've got a beautiful collector's cover by Shazam artist Jerry Ordway. Pick that set up. It's a fun time for kids of all ages. Next week, rev up the RV, Mentor, because it's time to hit the highways and byways with none other than Jackson's co-star, the talented Michael Gray, who played Billy Batson. The Shazam 40th anniversary celebration continues, and Michael might even tell us why Billy seemed to only have one shirt. Once again, thanks to all who've been getting the word out about Comic Book Central. If you've missed any of the episodes of Comic Book Central, there's Stan Lee, Michael Rosenbaum, his new movie's out, by the way, Jamie Alexander, Jonathan Frakes, a bunch of them, they're all online. ComicBookCentral.net, or better yet, subscribe on iTunes so you have them all. And again, please be so kind as to take a minute and rate and post a review. It's very helpful. Like and share The Lair. Comic Book Central's on Facebook at facebook.com/ComicBookCentralNetwork. Follow me on Twitter at ComicBookCTRL. And be sure to drop me a line. Love to hear from you. Joe@comicbookcentral.net. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again to Jackson Bostwick for taking some time off from crime fighting to join me today. Don't forget, next week we continue the 40th anniversary celebration of Shazam with Michael Gray. Until then, keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the Lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
Terry Bradshaw told me some of the guys during the training camp for the Steelers, they'd be in the hotel rooms and they'd just put a towel on us and yell Shazam to the girls down on the street. And I said, you animals.